Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. And your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories. On Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls underscore Pep.
People have their opinion.
What other falsehoods are out there?
Well, a lot of the perception things about us.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
Rebuilds are difficult. Sometimes it takes years and years. I still believe, given a really good offseason with this draft pick that we have coming and with our ability to get some veteran players in here alongside these young guys, we can make a substantial leap.
Kick back, relax. Locked On Bulls starts now.
My job is to prepare the child for the road, not the road for the child. And these guys are men.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Matt Peck. My co-host Jordan Malley is off today, so I'll be running the show solo, doing a little bit of a shorter episode today, but still wanted to get some more content out to you, our Locked On Bulls faithful, who we appreciate are out there and starve for Bulls content, even in this part of the calendar year when things tend to slow down a little bit in the NBA, finally. As I said, I'm Matt Peck. You can follow me on Twitter at Bulls underscore Peck. You can also catch my content, Bulls Outsiders, that we'll be picking up in season two, just right around the corner. Jordan C. Malley, my co-host, follow him on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley. You can also appreciate his work as a producer at 670 The Score. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls. And of course, our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Tomorrow, Wednesday, we will be doing our regular mailbag episode. We have a lot of texts and voicemails to get through. We will get to as many of them as possible. But in the meantime, why not keep them coming? The more, the merrier. The more topics we have to choose from, the better. Keeps things interesting. 331-979-1369. Thanks to all of you who are continuing to throw us comments and questions to that text and voicemail line as we get into the dog days of NBA summer. So, with Jordan out today and not a whole lot of Bulls, pressing headline news, I wanted to go back and revisit the whole Russell Westbrook saga. Because obviously, a lot of you probably listened to the mailbag episode from last week Jordan and I did that ended with a very long, very heated at times discussion about the idea of Russell Westbrook coming to the Bulls, whether or not the Bulls should try to target him once it became clear that the Thunder were going to look to move him and start that franchise over after Paul George went to the Clippers with Kawhi. If you did listen to that episode, you knew that I took the stance of those who feel like Westbrook being added into the mix of what the Bulls have with this rebuild right now was maybe not the wisest idea, the best idea. And Jordan thought, hey, if you can go get a star of Westbrook's caliber, it doesn't matter who's on your team, who you have to trade, go do it. So those were the sides that we chose. And as we all saw, it came to nothing. Bulls fans love debating about every tiny little thing, and sometimes you debate over things that aren't really even realistic, things that aren't likely to happen or even possible to happen. But hey, we all embrace debate on this show. Bulls fans in general certainly embrace debate, which is what makes doing this podcast so much fun. It's what makes being a Bulls fan at times maddening, but more often than not, really enjoyable. So, to me, the thing that, and I was tweeting a little bit about this yesterday because I was starting to think about it more when I was listening to the most recent episode of the Woj Pod for ESPN, where his guest was Rockets head coach Mike D'Antoni, and they were talking about and breaking down not only the Rockets season and CP3's departure in that trade, but the arrival of Westbrook and how he plans to make that work, reuniting Brody and the Beard. But one of the details that was touched on in that podcast that I felt like got completely overlooked by Bulls fans who were advocating for a Westbrook trade and after the fact complaining that the Bulls didn't even get in the game, didn't even try to get Westbrook from OKC, because they kept talking about the hypothetical trade scenarios that the Bulls could offer, the packages the Bulls could offer. And it was even, you know, the Bulls were mentioned as one of those teams who could offer up Westbrook and make things work contractually and might be interested in such a player. Talking about two different, essentially, trade packages, one centered around Otto Porter Jr. and his contract, and the other centered around Zach LaVine and his contract, with one or two other players thrown in and probably at least one future draft pick, not to not only make the contracts work, but to make the trade worthwhile for OKC. Well, now we've seen how many between Paul George and Russell Westbrook first round draft picks the Thunder have acquired over the next, like, spreading out to 8 years or so from now, which is pretty impressive. But the fact that the Bulls theoretically could have made a package around either of those players, Otto or LaVine, and maybe it would have been a more enticing offer than what the Thunder ended up getting. Now, I don't think so, based on what they were able to get for swapping CP3 in that contract and getting some draft capital in return. But to me, the point that they were talking about, Woj and D'Antoni, is that the Rockets had the ability and the upper hand in these negotiations to some degree, and the market was as small as it was for Westbrook, quote-unquote market, was as small as it was for Westbrook, because this is a guy who the Thunder and that Oklahoma City community and that organization valued very highly, not just as a basketball player, but as a guy who meant everything to the organization. And whether or not he was responsible for their shortcomings in playoff runs, some seasons being a guy who said took too many shots and took focus away from Kevin Durant, or even still after Durant left, that maybe he was too much of a ball hog and ball dominant and took focus away from Paul George when Paul George arrived and was the new star duo. He was also the guy who was either almost as responsible or the very first most responsible person to make them a perennial contender and a perennial playoff team. Alongside Kevin Durant, and then even after Durant's departure, Russell Westbrook was the reason that the Thunder were relevant. A small market team that had some of the most exciting games, exciting seasons, exciting playoff runs. Russell Westbrook was at the epicenter of all of it. And it really sucks for the Thunder and their fans and that community that they were never able to take that group of star power players and get all the way to hoisting that Larry O'Brien trophy. It was a real bummer. You feel for him. And knowing everything that Westbrook had given to that organization, and to say after, you know, one by one, the pieces fell off, you know, they decided to move Ibaka, they traded Harden before that, Kevin Durant leaves, you know, all these pieces come and go, Westbrook stayed. Westbrook was always loyal in a business that players often talk about as being, there's no loyalty, it's just business. Westbrook was always loyal to the Thunder. Never talked about wanting to go somewhere else, never talked about wanting to go and play with some other player on some other team. It was ride or die OKC for Westbrook always. And I think Sam Presti and everyone in that organization knew that and truly appreciated it. And this was one of those maybe rare instances where the organization wanted to show thanks for the loyalty the player showed them. In other situations, the player under contract, you know, who cares? We're going to, you want out or whatever the situation is, or we're moving in a different direction, we're going to trade you, and we don't care whether or not you like where we trade you. Just look at Kawhi. It's not like he wanted to go to Toronto, and we saw that. He won a title with them and then booked anyway. And in that instance, yeah, Kawhi had gotten that team a title in 2014, but he also had become this weird caricature that maybe people were starting to wonder, you know, just how much is he dedicated? And there was maybe some infighting between him and veteran players like Manu and Tony Parker, who were saying, hey, he shouldn't be resting all these games. He should be out there playing. If I had what he had, I'd be out there playing, all that stuff. So with Kawhi, it wasn't a loyalty thing. It was like, well, we're going to trade him to the best offer. And off he went to Toronto. With Westbrook and OKC, it was different. They wanted, as a way to say thank you and to say, hey, man, it sucks that we couldn't get this done, and it sucks that this is the end of the road that we've come to, but we're going to move on. It seems like now that Paul has left, you would rather go somewhere where you can compete and make playoff runs, and we're kind of going to, you know, stockpile all these draft picks and start over. Where would you like to go? And that list was very short. And going to what you could argue is now the Western Conference favorites. Some might say it's LeBron and AD's Lakers. Some might say it's Kawhi and Paul's Clippers. But the Rockets were the only team that really gave the Warriors trouble in the Western Conference over the reign of the past 5 years. And now that the Warriors, with a rehabbing Klay Thompson and a departed Kevin Durant, are shorthanded and vulnerable, the West is wide open. And Westbrook and Harden, even after Harden's departure from OKC, have remained friends. And, you know, whether or not they can make that work with those two very high usage percentage players playing in the backcourt together in Houston is another thing. And I definitely encourage all of you out there to go listen to that interview between Woj and Mike D'Antoni, because Mike D'Antoni sounds like a guy who hasn't quite figured out all the details yet of how they're going to make that work. But it certainly was a logical option for Westbrook to say, send me over to Houston. You know, let me go play with my former teammate and another MVP caliber player in James Harden. So that's what the Thunder did. They did it for Westbrook because they wanted to do right by him and send him somewhere that he wanted to go. And that detail to me was just completely ignored by the Bulls fans that I've seen on Twitter screaming and ranting and raving and rolling their eyes. The Bulls didn't even get in the game for Westbrook. Come on, how lazy can you be? There are organizations whose executives make things happen, and there are those who sit back and watch from the sidelines. Oh, Garpax, blah. And, you know, it makes me sick. It really does. Because all you out there who listen to this podcast regularly know that in no ways am I a, like, Garpax stan. I'm not a defender. I don't know how many times, countless times, infinity times, I have said that I want those men to be fired and replaced. I want this team to start over from the top down. But people who take shots at them for things that are not based in reality, people who take shots at them to say, I can't believe they didn't get in the game for the Westbrook trade. Okay, well, if the Thunder wanted to do what right by Westbrook and say, where do you want to go? And a team that's rebuilding, that he doesn't really know any of the players here, isn't really close friends with any of the players here, coming off of 22 wins, why in the hell would Westbrook want to come play here? The Bulls didn't choose to do nothing when they could have done something. In the case of should we or should we not go after Russell Westbrook, yes, in some cases, the team holds the cards, the team has the player under the contract, and regardless of where the player wants to go in a trade, Anthony Davis, another great recent example, although the Pelicans did finally eventually cave because the Lakers gave them a giant haul for him, in most cases, the franchise showing the player some appreciation for the player's loyalty and giving him the opportunity to say, send me to X team. That doesn't happen often, but it happened here with Westbrook and the Thunder. And that immediately ruled out the Bulls as a possibility. Theoretically, the Bulls could have offered a package for Westbrook. But if Westbrook said, I will happily go to this team or this team. And, you know, maybe it was certainly the Rockets and maybe the Heat were another team that were kind of maybe an interest of his. We'll never know the full list if it was, in fact, a long list or even a list of multiple teams that Westbrook gave to Sam Presti to say, here's what we can do. But we all know for damn sure that the Bulls were not one of the teams on that list. And why would they be? So to say, oh, Garpax, you didn't even pick up the phone. You didn't even try. You didn't even make an offer. And it's the same stuff that you heard from the similar fans who are nothing but GarPax, you know, hashtag FireGarPaxers, who all they want to talk about is this front office's inability to do anything, who said a few days into July, oh, I can't believe they didn't even get meetings with some of these players. Why can't they go get Kemba Walker? Why can't they get a meeting with Kawhi? Open your eyes. Open your eyes to the reality of the situation. Please. Because, you know, and I was going back and forth a little bit with Coach Ron about this on Twitter yesterday, because he certainly grilled the Bulls for not getting involved with Westbrook, and he also grilled them for not going after bigger free agents this summer. And, you know, he said it's not just Westbrook. What about Kemba? You know, the Celtics are a better fit than the Bulls. Why could they have gone after Kemba? A lot of you on our text and voicemail line saying, why aren't the Bulls going after Kemba? Do some wiggling with your cap situation. Stretch Felicio. Do this. Do that. Get Chris Dunn's money off the books. Whatever it takes. Sign Kemba. In the exact same way that Westbrook, if given the opportunity to pick the team that he's being traded to, has the Bulls nowhere on his radar because they are a team coming off of 22 wins and have had a first couple of rocky seasons to start a rebuild where none of his buddies play. If for those very same reasons Westbrook says, yeah, the Bulls aren't on my list for teams that I'm going to be traded to, then why would the Bulls be on a similar list for free agents like Kemba Walker or Kawhi Leonard, who get to pick where they want to go? Any of Kawhi's pals on this Bulls roster currently? Any of Kemba Walker's pals on this Bulls roster currently? Are they an exciting young core that just made a promising push to being a playoff team in the 2018-19 season? No! And you could talk about, well, they could have been a lot better. They could have looked a lot better. They would have been closer to a 30-something win team or maybe even better if they didn't have all the injuries, whatever, whatever. Coulda, shoulda, woulda. The facts are the facts. The team that the Bulls have won 22 games last year. The team, the roster that the Bulls had coming into free agency of 2019, that team won 22 games. So why the hell would max level free agents even look, even glance in this direction? Well, KD and Kyrie went to Brooklyn. Kawhi decided to go to the Clippers and got Paul George to come with him. Kemba chose the Celtics. None of those teams are like, you know, defending champs. None of those teams are already pretty dominant teams and they went there to form a super team. No, but you know what all three of those teams are? 2019 playoff teams. 2019 playoff teams. The Bulls were nothing close to that. Barely halfway there. Barely halfway to an eighth seed in the East. That's what the Bulls were this past season. So to those of you who say, oh my God, I can't, why not even try to get a meeting? You're sitting on the sidelines. Mom and pop shop this, mom and pop shop that. You're not even getting in the game. The Bulls may have faced realities this summer to say, we're not getting any big free agents. Look at the season we've endured. Our young core has showed signs of promise, but they're still a ways away from contending. They still have to develop. That's why they made the auto trade. He was, in essence, a free agent acquisition because they used a lot of their cap space to bring in a guy who was on that level of a contract. Addressing a position of need for a quality veteran player because they knew, realistically, that they were not getting meetings with any of those guys. Why? Because they were a rebuilding team who, at the time of the auto trade, were well below 500 and on their way towards the top of the lottery again. So look, I am not saying here that the front office and even the ownership is absolved of guilt. I'm not sitting here defending them for the fact that the Bulls were not in a position to get Russell Westbrook. The Bulls were not in position to make plays for any of the big names of free agency this summer. Is it partly or even largely their fault that is the reality that we are currently living in? That the Bulls would, of course, not be on a list of teams where Russell Westbrook would prefer to be traded to. Is for similar reasons that the Bulls were not on the list of players like Kemba Walker or Kawhi Leonard as possible free agent destinations where they want to go play. The reality of where the Bulls are and the fact that these realities and the details of this reality makes these players not want to come here right now, yes. Some, if not most of that, is largely fault that lies at the feet of the people running this team. Of course it is. That part is obvious. And I'm not trying to say that it's not their fault, that that's the reality we're living in. I'm simply saying, for those of you who are blind to it, wake up to the fact that that is the reality we are living in. And, you know, somebody else, when I was talking about this on Twitter yesterday, came in and retorted with, well, you're ignoring or you're forgetting that guard packs have failed to execute getting a star free agent or a guy that was available via trade when they were in a competitive window, when they were a competitive team, citing the big three in 2010, missing on Melo a few years after that, or perhaps even when a guy who was in his prime and arguably the best player in the league, Kobe Bryant, back in 2006, who wanted to come here and sign a trade or a trade. And now we're being told, well, let's try again in 2021 when hopefully the team is more competitive. And Luke here on Twitter says, what, to fail for a fourth time at getting a free agent? So, no, Luke, and any of you others out there who would be quick to point out, well, it's not just this one time where the Bulls were on the sidelines watching. There were times when they tried because they were contenders, they were at least competitive, and they failed. And I'm telling you, Luke, and I'm telling everybody else out there who would be quick to bring up those examples of failure, that I am not forgetting that those happened. That I am very much with you in your grievance that how many chances are we going to give this front office? How many times do we have to listen to Michael Reinsdorf say, well, we landed Ben Wallace in 2006. Cool. Good for flipping you. I am not forgetting that those failures happened. I am merely saying that in this instance of the present, in the summer of 2019, for those to say, I can't believe they didn't try and trade for Russ, or I can't believe they didn't try and sign Kawhi and Kemba, that you are blinding yourselves to the reality of the situation. And is that reality, again, largely at the feet, the fault at the feet of those men? Yes. That's not what I'm debating. But it's part of this thing that's become instilled in so much of the fan base that it's like everything that does happen or doesn't happen is just an immediate finger and point of blame to, well, look at this incompetent organization. A more competent organization could have found out a way to get this done. You know what? Like, in this instance this summer, maybe you're right, maybe you're wrong, but I mean, that's a gigantic hypothetical. And what we do know right now about the reality we're in is that you should not have expected the Bulls to go after Russell Westbrook. You should not have expected this team to go after big-name free agents like Kemba and Kawhi because of the reality of the situation. 22-win team. Cold market, high tax city. Those are all ugly truths, but they're all truths. And I don't understand the lack of awareness from some in the fan base who are just so indignant about the lack of, it's like a lack of gumption, right? Or a lack of competence to say, you want this player, go get this player. All right, well, if the player's given a choice and the player doesn't want to go there, then what are you to do? If the player is a free agent and can really literally choose anywhere and he doesn't want to go here, what are you to do? And that leads you to the thing that Coach Ron and I did come to an agreement on, and there's no debating this, when we were talking about, was Westbrook realistic? Was Kemba or Kawhi realistic? It's that, yes, in the summer of 2019, based on what this team has acquired in its talent on its roster, the moves that they made in free agency, I thought were actually calculated and smart ones for a change. They didn't just sign Dwayne Wade because they could. They didn't just sign Jabari Parker because they could. They signed guys who maybe the average fan doesn't know a whole lot about. Thad Young, Satoransky, Luke Kornet. That actually accentuate the talents of the more talented players that are on this roster and plug some of the holes of some of the weaknesses of this roster. They were smart moves. They were calculated. They made sense. They weren't sexy, but they made sense. So to me, is it a gigantic danger that still a couple years down the road, when Kawhi and Paul George, not to mention players like Giannis and Rudy Gobert and Bradley Beal and many other high-level stars will once again hit the free agent market, and hopefully by then this Bulls team with Markkanen, with LaVine, with Wendell, will have shown, with Kobe White, will have shown some growth, and hopefully by 2021 may have not made a deep playoff run, but were at least a playoff team, be a more enticing spot for those big max level stars to land because it's their choice. That is the plan right now, as the Bulls front office has laid it out for us. In so many words, it's pretty clear that that is the plan for them. Develop the talent you have acquired since trading Jimmy. Hopefully some of that young talent turns into all-star caliber talent that becomes a desirable joining point for big-name free agents down the road. In 2021 specifically, when the Otto money comes off the books and the Felicio money comes off the books. That's the reality of the situation. And the scary part that I still very much so am skeptical about, that I still very much so agree with Coach Ron and most of those hashtag FireGar Paxers that live out there on Bulls Twitter who say it doesn't matter if this rebuild worked. It doesn't matter if LaVine or Markkanen can turn into a complimentary piece on a contending team, because that biggie star that we need and we need to get, it's probably not coming in the draft anymore, because Kobe White's not going to be any kind of huge game changer in my opinion. And that was the third year in a row where they picked seventh. And hopefully, if this team shows some promise, they're going to be moving further and further away from the lottery. So you're not getting that game changer through the draft, probably. You got to get it through free agency or a trade. And the Bulls have repeatedly failed in the regime of John Paxson to make that happen. That I am not arguing against. That is also reality. And that makes me very worried and very skeptical for this plan that is currently being orchestrated. If 2021 comes around and the Bulls, say, are a mild playoff team, they make some noise, Markkanen and or LaVine develop into all-star caliber talent players. Wendell, who a lot of people believe actually has the highest ceiling among any of these players on this team right now, takes a big step or two in development. And the Bulls have some enticing young pieces that some of the in-their-prime veteran free agents look and say, hey, that team, if I go play with those guys, we could do something. If that comes around in 2021 and the players on this young Bulls team have done their part to show some promise and the men running this team fail again to get that big star here. I mean, would it be surprising? A lot of you out there listening probably saying, well, duh, of course that's what's going to happen. And that's why they should have just traded for Westbrook instead of trying to really build this rebuild. There's some maybe who look at it more optimistically and say, maybe this time they finally get it right. Maybe this time they finally get it right. Maybe based on their recent string of moves that actually look like they are based in things like logic, as opposed to only making decisions based on dollars and how many jerseys they can sell and how many butts they can put in the seats, maybe we are starting to see a trend along with the fact that they have given some recent promotions within the organization as far as people making decisions in scouting departments and the way that this team is run, maybe finally we are starting to see some level of competency from these people that gives us promise that in a couple of years, the young core will look good. And Chicago, between being a big market team and a team that looks like they're on the cusp of really contending, are an enticing location and landing spot for big-name free agents. But will the perception is reality issue rear its ugly head once again? Because this is the team that, even though it was probably time or perhaps even past due, took a lot of flack for trading away the city's native son, Derrick Rose. This is the team that took a lot of flack for the way that they treated Jimmy Butler as they traded him out of town, never saying that they were believing in him as the guy to build around. They want to build with him, not around him, all that kind of talk. And then, of course, Jimmy Butler's trainer going on Twitter and saying, what a joke of an organization. I've met drug dealers with higher moral character than Gar Foreman, et cetera, et cetera. Well, maybe that's just a bitter Jimmy Butler trainer who wanted to, vent some of his anger on Twitter and call out the guys who he thought did his client wrong. Maybe he's not wrong about some of that stuff that he said, because it's not one instance. There have been repeated instances where the Bulls, as they have been run over the last 10, 15, going on 16 years now, have developed this reputation among the league, which John Paxson goes on the radio and claims doesn't exist. And if it does exist, he's not sure what to do about it. That the Bulls are a unreputable organization. For such a rich history, the title years, the dynasty years, the big Chicago market, the fan base that is global because of the Jordan years, that they, despite all of that, have these instances where they become the laughingstock of the league. The near mutiny that happened this past season, some of the things that Jim Boylan said and did, treating his players like children, the way that players talk about the Bulls after they have left the organization, all of that stuff is out there. And players talk and players remember things that are said, things that are done. Jabari Parker just recently did an interview with the Sun-Times. He's going to go play in Atlanta now, see if he can find some career success over there finally. But, one of many people who, and again, it was like back in February, shortly after the trade happened, he did another interview where he said some not so flattering things. Our pal Bobby Portis, who we did our bowling event with last summer, when he got traded, he didn't like stoke a whole lot of fires, but said that, they probably could have handled some things better and could have handled some things differently. And it's not like the Bulls are the only team in the league, right, that has these issues. Players get traded, players get treated this way or that way, and then it goes back to that entire thing we were starting to talk about with Westbrook and the Thunder, which is there any loyalty here? Is there any show of appreciation and loyalty? Is loyalty a two-way street, or is, at the end of the day, is it just a business? And right now, the Bulls have the reputation of being a poorly run business. And that problem is still very much on the table. That problem could still very much come back to bite this team in the ass again when, just like in 2010 and just like in 2014, they failed to go get that big star or stars that they were after. And maybe that perception that has grown across the league about the way that this organization is run is one of the factors that prevents the big stars from coming here. Because you do have the other factors. The cold winters. The high taxes of Chicago. It's, this, that, and the other thing. For as big of a media and market as it is, not as enticing as Los Angeles. Not as enticing as Miami. So those other factors are there, and it won't be only because of this perception is reality stuff that prevents the Bulls from getting free agents. It could be other things. Could be any of those other factors, wanting to play with the certain fellow all-star caliber players that are their friends, and whether or not teams can accommodate that, which is what we saw the Clippers work tirelessly to do to pry Paul George away from OKC. So Kawhi and he could go team up with each other in LA. All of those other factors are on the table too. But the biggest, most important factor when we're talking about this 2 years from now and whether or not the Bulls finally got it right or they failed again is how much of a factor was the Bulls organization having a negative reputation across the league, and not just among players, but among other executives who say, well, we sit around and laugh at what the Bulls do, you know, just treading water or taking one step forward and two steps backward. And John Paxson can deny until the cows come home that that stuff is true. But if it's out there, it's out there. And if it hinders your team's ability to put together a winning roster, a championship contending roster led by stars that you acquire via trade and or free agency, because getting one in the draft now is unlikely, then that's on them. That is 100% on them, and they need to go. Some of you out there, and I wouldn't necessarily pull myself out of that group, would say, well, yeah, that's been the reality for years now. How many years now? How many years do they get to use Derek's ACL as an excuse? How many years do they get to use this or that as an excuse? The other injuries. I get it. I get it. And that's why I wanted to also make sure that you are all aware that I am not trying to absolve the front office or ownership in any way when I come on in here and say, or I go on Twitter and say, yo, a lot of you guys who are like ragging them for not getting Westbrook or not getting Kemba or Kawhi, it's like, dude, open your eyes. Open your eyes to the truth. You're scolding men for being inactive when there was in no reality of the present situation and the present factors a way for them to be active. And maybe you disagree with me there. Maybe you disagree and say, hey, if the Bulls really wanted Westbrook, they go out there, they give the Thunder a more enticing package than the Rockets were able to, and the Thunder say, well, you know, Westbrook, loyalty is important. We wanted to do it right by you, but we just couldn't turn this offer down that we got from Chicago. Maybe that's something that the Bulls could have done, but based on what we know about that trade and how it went down and the end of the Westbrook era in OKC and what he meant to them and how that went down, to me, it was not even unlikely. It was not possible. So don't scold someone for failing to do something that's impossible. Somebody else who was coming at me on Twitter disagreeing with me saying, well, like, the failure to try is the worst kind of failure. Okay, that's a cute trope, but you're ignoring reality. In fact, I might counter-argue with, why try something that you know scientifically to be impossible? Because you're wasting your time when you could be more focused on a project at hand that actually might bear some fruit. Like, say, signing some lesser-known, less exciting names of free agency that actually help your current roster, which is what they freaking did. Those are my thoughts on that. I'm sure plenty of you will disagree with me, and that's okay. That's cool. But I wanted to come on and revisit the whole Westbrook saga just because I was getting so sick of so many people on Twitter saying, God, they're just sitting on their thumbs. They're sitting on their thumb. They're not doing anything. Pick up the phone. Do something. Go get Westbrook. If you want Westbrook, who adds absolutely a chunk of wins to this team right now as it stands, makes you a playoff team, go get him. Do what it takes. Go get him. But they don't, because they're inactive or they're incompetent or they're this or they're that. It's like, yo, okay, I'm with you. We all stand together for the most part in wanting to see some overhaul of people who run this organization. I get it. But don't complain about shit that's just not real. Because, you know what, and like I've said this before, when you hose the front office or when you rake them over the coals for shit that doesn't make sense, it delegitimizes the criticisms that they actually deserve. And that, to me, is the real issue. when all of you are just, you know, all of the hashtag FireGuard Paxers that scream about this and that and refuse to see any positives anywhere, and all you want to talk about is firing the front office, and you will not talk about anything else, and everything that happens or everything that doesn't happen is an immediate finger point at ownership and management, it drowns out the real criticisms. It drowns out the real shit that they should be held responsible and held accountable for. You make the fan base sound like just one giant, whiny, nagging blob of amorphous unintelligence. Complaining about shit you don't understand. That's always been my plea with this fan base. If you're going to complain, if you're going to point fingers, if you're going to be critical, do it through a lens that is actually realistic and truthful. So I wanted to go back and talk about that Westbrook stuff again. And I'd love to hear your thoughts on the matter. Once again, that text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Also, feel free to throw us some questions on our Twitter accounts. I'm at Bulls_Peck. Jordan is at Jordan C. Malley, and we are at Locked On Bulls. And again, that number, 331-979-1369. We will do mailbag tomorrow, Wednesday. Look forward to that. Look forward to having Jordan back on the show. Throw us any of your comments or questions about my rant about Westbrook, the Bulls, and the state of reality. And I hope all of you have a great Tuesday evening and Wednesday morning, and hopefully Jordan and I will talk to a lot of you from those texts and voicemails on Wednesday. So for Jordan Malley, Matt Peck saying thank you so much, as always, for listening, Bulls Nation. Reminder, subscribe anywhere you get your podcasts, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Spotify, all those places, Himalaya as well. And we will talk to you tomorrow. Thanks so much, Bulls Nation. We're out.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. Locked On Bulls is live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com.